This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Surf Sports Book here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we have a lot to get into, it's championship week, so the NBA Finals will begin on Thursday. The Stanley Cup Final begins on Wednesday. Have to get to some analysis for both Game 1s and the series as a whole. As far as best bets are concerned, we'll talk about the props market, the futures market when it comes to the awards. As we know, Oklahoma City, an overwhelming favorite in the NBA Finals, thus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, an overwhelming favorite to be the Finals MVP. Plus, Major League Baseball, there's some games going on in progress, and earlier here on Monday, we witnessed yet another blowout, and that's the theme of this Major League Baseball season in 2025. The Tigers beat the White Sox earlier on Monday by a score of 13-1, 16 hits for the Tigers, just 5 hits for the White Sox. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about how great the Detroit Tigers are. Everyone pretty much knows that by now. They're the first team to 40 wins in Major League Baseball this year. They are first place in the American League Central, best record in baseball. They're doing an incredible job of winning ball games this season. And I know our buddy Gil Alexander from a numbers game has the Tigers to have the most wins in the month of June. Totally love that bet. So good call there by Gil, who he loves doing those markets with the most wins in the month. He's on the Tigers, most wins in the month. They're already off to a 2-0 start. So good job by Gil. But what I thought about after watching that result was not good news for cashing a Tigers minus a 1.5 bet. No, it was how many games this year in Major League Baseball have been decided by 10 or more runs. And I just go back to what Saturday, and we had, what was it on Saturday? We had the Yankees Dodgers, which was a blowout, 18-2. You had the Rays Astros was a 16-3 game. The Brewers Phillies was 17-7. And I thought to myself back on Saturday, man, we've seen a lot of blowouts this year. And I host shows here on VSiN on the weekends, live bet Saturday, live bet Sunday. And I'm constantly looking at the games in progress. And something that I've been a big proponent of in this Major League Baseball season, and just in general when it comes to baseball, is when you have these blowout games to look for the live overs. Because what happens most of the time is that the games remain blowouts. And in fact, the deficit gets larger and larger. And it seems as if teams are giving up games. This season, through the first 2 months plus of the season, so we're going back to the start of June. So just in the early, you know, the couple of games that are in March, but April and May, we have had more games decided by 10 or more runs than we have had in any single season in the database. And the database I'm looking goes back to 2004. 46 games prior to the start of June, and with this Tigers win here on Monday, we can call it 47 wins now by 10 or more runs. The next highest year, and I'm just talking about for the first 2+ months of the season. So prior to June, 2019, 39 wins by 10 or more. Last year, the same time last year, we only had 26 games decided by 10 or more runs. We've had 21 more this year. Why is that? Why are we seeing so many blowout games? Is it a talent discrepancy? Or is there no parity? Are the teams just so far apart from each other? Is the gap that wide that the better teams are blowing out the worser teams? I don't think that's the case. These are all major league caliber players. Now, say what you want about the talent being watered down, or we have too many teams. The Colorado Rockies, for example, I mean, Major League Baseball would certainly do better with contraction rather than expansion, because there's just not enough talent for all of these teams. And like I said, look at the Rockies, who, congratulations, they won their 10th game of the year here on Monday. But why are we seeing so many blowouts? That's the big question for me. And I think it's because teams, managers, and I hate to say it, even some players are giving away games. They're saying, you know what? It's a 162 game season, and today's loss doesn't mean anything. Now, I'm not somebody that agrees with that, because I know, and you know, and yes, we talk about games later in the year, the wins in August or September that mean more. They don't. A win in April counts the same as a win in September. It's all one win in your standings. So I don't like the idea of giving games away. But you understand it in the grand scheme of things. Because the season's so long, because pitching is at a premium, you have managers that decide, well, I'm not going to throw a guy out of the bullpen that I'm going to need in a higher leverage spot when I'm losing by 6 or 7 runs. And what do we see a lot of the time? We see the guys that come into the game that haven't pitched in like 6 or 7 days. And they've just been sitting out in the bullpen, wasting away. And a guy comes in and of course he's going to get rocked. The guy hasn't pitched in a week. So you're utilizing the lesser used guys out of the bullpen. Naturally, those guys get rocked. You're also throwing, you know, maybe you're having a pitcher out there that you just say, hey, dude, sorry, you're going to have to eat this. Sometimes it works out for that player. Sometimes it doesn't. Steven Kolek, who got the start here on Monday for the San Diego Padres, remember last week against the Marlins, Steven Kolek gave up 6 runs in the top of the first inning. And yet the Padres kept him in the game. And he actually was in line to pick up the win because the Padres came all the way back and they even won the first 5. Remember, we talked about that being one of the all-time bad beats, where if you had Marlins plus a half a run in the first 5 innings, you had a 6-0 lead and they were down 7-6 after 5 innings. But that's a case where the Padres said to Steven Kolek, hey, you gave up 6 runs here in the first inning. We're not wasting our bullpen. Like, you got to eat this. And so he stays in. Now, it worked out for him because he figured out a get to get out of it. And he wound up going 5 more scoreless innings. Congratulations. Look at the Twins and the A's here tonight. Luis Severino gives up 6 runs in the second inning. And the A's are like, dude, you got to eat it. You're staying in the game. Top of the 4th inning right now, Twins with a 6-1 lead over the A's. But they say to Severino, you got to eat this. We're not wasting bullpen arms here. And I think that's what, you know, like I said, it worked out for Kolek, but I don't think it's working out for other guys. And it might not work out for Severino. It hasn't worked out for other pitchers. Jonathan Cannon gave up 5 runs. He comes out after 3 innings. Wilson gives up 8 runs on 12 hits. 8 runs on 12 hits. They just let him eat it. They said, hey, Bryce, we're going to need you to eat some innings here, because we don't want to waste arms. We need you to eat innings. And so it doesn't matter. You give up 8 runs. Who cares? Who cares about your ERA? We're not trying to win this game. We're trying to preserve ourselves to get to tomorrow, so we don't have to make roster moves and call up pitchers. But honestly, I think it's embarrassing for the game of baseball. The fact that we have seen 47 games already this season decided by 10 or more runs, to me, it's pathetic. It's not good baseball. It's not entertaining. Now, from a betting perspective, how do we take advantage of it? I think it goes back to live overs. Because the way that these managers are managing these games, the way that the pitchers are just going out there and just saying, all right, I got to eat innings. Damn my ERA. If I give up 5 runs, I give up 8 runs. It doesn't matter. I'm staying in the game. when you see these games that are potentials of being blowouts, I think you got to play live overs. Forget about the idea of a position player coming in to pitch late in the game, which that in itself is just embarrassing. Even if a team's winning, you know, they put the guy in just to save the bullpen. So from a betting perspective, we look at live overs, and maybe that's a play here in this A's game against the Twins, as the live over is at, I saw 12.5 to 6-1 game in the fourth inning. Wouldn't surprise me if the Twins score six more runs, and this thing goes over just because the Twins score. At least that's what I would do to handle these embarrassing blowouts that we see in Major League Baseball. Hey, you want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with the best bets from hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we'll set the stage for championship week. Both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final get underway Wednesday and Thursday. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As in progress right now, we keep an eye on what's going on between the Mets and the Dodgers. Little NLCS rematch there in LA. Paul Blackburn making his season debut for the Mets. And that's usually a fade spot for me. I don't like the guys in their first start coming off of an injury. Like we saw Kershaw get rocked in his first start. We saw it happen with George Kirby, the Mariners as well. And some other guys this year, they seem to struggle in their first time out, but no struggle here for Blackburn going up against a, you know, pretty heavy lefty led lineup here, which you would think that maybe has some success against Blackburn, but not the case, as the Dodgers only two hits so far through four innings. The Mets with a 1-0 lead thanks to a solo home run by Francisco Lindor to lead off the game. Now, should the Mets go on to win this game? Or if you want to place a live bet on the Mets to win this game right now, which live line is Mets minus 160, history is on your side. That's right. And shout out Sarah Langs, who had this on Twitter. The New York Mets have won 26 consecutive regular season games when Francisco Lindor homers. It's the second longest streak of wins with a player homering since 1900 behind Carl Furillo in 1951 to 1953, 29 consecutive wins when he homered. 26 straight regular season wins when Francisco Lindor homers. If the Mets win tonight, it'll be 27 consecutive. How about that? How about a live bet? Imagine like every time Lindor homers, you just live bet the Mets to win, no matter the situation. You've won 26 straight games. Could be 27 tonight. Mets lead 1-0 going to the fifth inning. Mets minus 160 on the live money line. 26 straight. Does tonight go to 27 or does it buck the trend? Again, Mets consecutive wins there with Francisco Lindor homering. I mentioned it's championship week. The Stanley Cup Final begins on Wednesday between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. It is a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup Final. Game one in Edmonton, where the Oilers are a minus 130 favorite, which is interesting because if you look at the series price, it was minus 110 both ways for a while. Edmonton now is a slight favorite in the series at minus 120. But it just goes to show me, at least, that once this series shifts to Florida, the Panthers will be heavier favorites than what the Oilers are in Edmonton. So the Oilers minus 130 for game number one. If they lose, maybe they're bigger favorites for game two in a bounce back spot. But if they win, maybe it's a little bit less, or if not the same. And then Florida might be minus 135 to minus 140, minus 145 or so in the games in Sunrise. This is a rematch, of course, of last year's Stanley Cup final, in which the Florida Panthers took a 3-0 lead before Edmonton won 3 consecutive games and forced a game 7, where the Panthers won 2-1. And in the loss, Connor McDavid was named the Conn Smythe Award winner as the most valuable player of the playoffs. And as a reminder, when you are placing your futures bet on the Conn Smythe Award, which we will give you a bet here on this program on a player to win the Conn Smythe Award, it is the most valuable player of the playoffs, not just the final series. But Connor McDavid is your favorite at plus 110. Sergei Bobrovsky is next at plus 250. Alexander Barkov plus 550. Leon Draisaitl plus 750. Matthew Tkachuk plus 1800. Sam Bennett 30-1. If you're wondering about the goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers, Stuart Skinner is at 50-1. But coming up a little bit later on, we will give you a bet on the Conn Smythe winner for this Stanley Cup final. I tweeted something out earlier last week, or late last week, in regards to this series, looking at the historical significance, potentially the historical synergy, if you will. No one's going to argue that, as far as generational talent is concerned, especially when it comes to Canadian hockey lore, Wayne Gretzky, we know, is the greatest of all time. After Gretzky, you know, certainly people, you know, did, you know, think, you know, Lemieux was obviously same time as Gretzky, you know, a little younger, and then, you know, maybe he's the guy, whatever. But from Gretzky, it wasn't until Sidney Crosby that we had another generational talent. And yes, Crosby and Ovechkin were, you know, together contemporaries and whatnot, but Sidney Crosby came into the NHL with all of the hype from juniors being referred to as the next one. When Wayne Gretzky was the great one, Crosby was referred to as the next one. And he lived up to all the hype, whether it was the international wins, the Stanley Cup wins, like, he lived up to the hype. It's incredible. After Crosby, it was Connor McDavid. When McDavid came in, he had all the hype surrounding him, and he has lived up to it as well. He's had international success with his national team. Got the game-winning goal in the Four Nations faceoff. Now we'll see what happens when next year in the Olympics, because he'll finally get to play for the senior team in the Olympics and not, you know, talk about world juniors and other things like that, but he'll get to play for the senior team. But McDavid's lived up to all the hype. He's the best hockey player in the world. He won the Conn Smythe last year, but he did not win the Stanley Cup. Well, how about this for historical synergy, if you will? Wayne Gretzky lost his first ever trip to the Stanley Cup final against the New York Islanders in 1983. The next year, Wayne Gretzky and the Edmonton Oilers win the Stanley Cup in a rematch with the New York Islanders. That's right. So he goes to the Cup final for the first time in his career. He loses it. And then the very next year, gets to face off against the same team, and he beats them and gets revenge, wins his first cup. Sidney Crosby goes to the Cup final against the Detroit Red Wings and loses. The very next year, gets revenge against that same Detroit Red Wings team and wins his first ever Stanley Cup. Connor McDavid gets to the Cup final last year and loses to the Florida Panthers and has a chance this year to get revenge against that very same Panthers team and win his first Stanley Cup. You can't make this stuff up. If the Oilers win and McDavid wins this year, the historical synergy between Gretzky winning his first cup in a rematch, Crosby winning his first cup in a rematch, and then McDavid winning his first cup in a rematch. I mean, that's the stuff that it's you can't script that. It's incredible. And what a moment it would be, just not just for Crosby and for McDavid and for the Oilers, but for the whole nation of Canada. A Canadian team hasn't won the cup since 1993 when the Montreal Canadiens won. It's a long time ago. I think we're in for an incredible series like we saw what happened last year. And to me, as much as I believe the Panthers are a wagon, and they are great. I keep going back to the Edmonton Oilers, and I keep going back to Connor McDavid. And I go back to this historical synergy, as I mentioned, between Gretzky to Crosby to McDavid. And plus, I've been burned by the Oilers this year. I'll admit, I bet against them multiple times. I had the Kings winning in that first round series. The Kings were up 2-0 and had a lead in game 3. And lose that series. The Oilers have shown multiple times throughout this postseason run that they are never out of any game. And that has to scare you if you're betting against them, because it's scared me betting against them throughout this entire Stanley Cup run. They have defied the odds. They have exceeded expectations. And they have proven that with their talent and depth, as deep as they are, not only are they not out of any game, but they're favored in games, any game that they play. It's very rare that you get them as dogs. And even when they are dogs, they come out and they handle their business. Seems good. Seems really good. So as much as I think, you know, the Panthers, as great as they are, I just find a hard time betting against this Edmonton Oilers team. I want to tell you guys about Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. You can sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code CASH. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. I mentioned the historical significance of the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers with the Stanley Cup rematch. What about the historical significance of the Oklahoma City Thunder being massive favorites here in the NBA Finals? We'll get to that coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As the upsets continue in college baseball, another SEC team has been eliminated as Murray State defeats Ole Miss 12-11 as Murray State advances to the Super Regionals. So the SEC going down as they will not have that many teams advance to Omaha, could potentially only have one team there in Omaha, maybe two. LSU staged a comeback here. They lead 6-5 over Little Rock, bottom of the seventh inning there. That is an elimination game to see who will advance to the Super Regional. So unbelievable stuff as far as upsets are concerned in the College World Series. If you've been betting favorites, well, more power to you, because they have not been coming through. Meanwhile, updating the Major League Baseball, I told you the live overs, when you have these blowout games, live overs are the way to go, because they go one of two ways. They either continue to be blowouts, or you still leave room for the other team to come back and score runs. There's plenty of game left. A 6-0 lead for the Twins in the fourth inning. The game is now 6-4. So if you live bet the over 12.5, when we talked about it, you're on your way. 6-4 in the fifth inning. The Twins lead the A's. Your new live total is at 15.5. So this one started out as a blowout. A's getting some runs. And next thing you know, We're headed towards a good live over cash if we get some more runs scored. And there's nobody out, and they have two runners on, the A's do, in the bottom of the fifth inning. So this live over looks like it is going to cash, but we will wait and see. The NBA Finals get underway on Thursday, and we have a historic line in this championship series. The Thunder are north of minus 700 favorites to defeat the Indiana Pacers. At minus 700, they will become the 11th team that is minus 600 or higher in the NBA Finals over the last 50 years. As Evan Abrams of the Action Network points out, he was on earlier on VSiN Primetime, those teams are 10-1 winning the title. The only upset was the 2004 Pistons defeated the Lakers. But you have minus 700 for the Thunder over the Pacers. And in game number one, the Thunder are 9-point favorites. Now, we haven't had that many games where in the NBA Finals with a spread of minus 9 or more. In fact, I went back through the history of the database here, and I'm seeing only 7 NBA Finals games with a minus 9 or greater spread. Those 7 teams are a perfect 7-0. Go figure. No surprise there. 4-2-1 against the spread. The only teams that did not cover the spread, it was the Warriors beating the Cavs in 2018. So that was the 2017 season. That was a blowout series. The Warriors beat the Cavs by 10 points. They were 12-point favorites. And also in 2008, the Lakers beat the Celtics by 6. They were 9-point favorites. And then there was a push between the Lakers and the Heat. That was the bubble series. Lakers were 10-point favorites. They won by 10. That could have been a situation where, you know, the line matters, or, you know, the number matters, wherever you got it, when you got it. But the Thunder, 9-point favorites over the Pacers. Again, in game number one, 7-0. Well, just in any game in the NBA Finals, 7-0 straight up, 4-2-1 against the spread. And just looking at the averages in these games, the first half's a blowout. We're talking about three and a half points better in the first quarter, and then over 4 points better in the second quarter. So we're talking over 7 points better in the first half for the favorites. In the third quarter, these teams are only 1.5 points better. And in the fourth quarter, they're a little under 2 points better. So they're winning every quarter on average, but really the first half is the biggest discrepancy, over 7 points of margin in the first halves of these games. And so if we take a look at the first half line here for game number one, if you want to isolate the first half for the Thunder, right now they are 5-point favorites in the first half. It's a play that I like, honestly. Because again, if you look at the history, we're seeing, you know, that this is how it plays out, where these teams that are heavily favored in the NBA Finals wind up being, you know, winning by over 7 points in the first half. But here's something that I think is really interesting. When we look at teams that are on heavy rest, and by heavy rest, I mean, we're talking like a week or so. The Thunder will have a week of rest. They will have 7 days of rest before game one of the NBA Finals. And some would think, well, it's rest versus rust, right? But that's actually not the case. Again, I went back to history of the database. First game that it shows me is in 2003. In the NBA playoffs, when you have 7 days of rest or more, and again, the Thunder will be on 7 days of rest prior to game number one, those teams are 25-10 straight up, 23-12 against the spread. So we're 66% ATS, great numbers. But on average, if we go quarter by quarter, these teams are outscoring their opponents by 2 points in the first quarter and by almost 4 points in the second quarter. So they're outscoring their opponents by 6 points in the first half. Third quarter, 2 point differential. Fourth quarter is dead even. So again, the margin is in the first half, which goes to show me that it's not rust. When people say, oh, they've had a long layoff, it's going to hurt them. It hasn't. In the playoffs, again, looking at all the teams that have been playing games on 7 days or more of rest, and there's been 35 of those games, those teams are 25 and 10 straight up, 23 and 12 against the spread, but on average, they are winning the first halves by over 6 points. And when you're starting out fast, that shows me that it's not the rust. How about if we isolate that to just home teams? If you are home on 7 days or more of rest in the NBA playoffs, 21 and 5 straight up, 19 and 7 against the spread. On average, you are an 8.3-point favorite. So that kind of lines up with where we are with the Thunder as a 9-point favorite in game number one. And looking at the quarter-by-quarter breakdown, outscoring your opponent by 4 points in the first quarter and 5 points in the second quarter. 9 points in the first half. Fourth quarter's even. Third quarter, you're outscoring them by three. But again, biggest margin is in the first half. To me, all signs point to not just the Thunder winning and covering this game, which I do like, but specifically, I like the Thunder in the first half. So if we were isolating a play in the first game of the NBA Finals on Thursday, it would be Thunder in the first half. But just overall for the game, game ones are historically great for favorites. That's something that Evan Abrams of the Action Network talked about when he joined VSiN Primetime earlier, and he's got a great article up on his, you know, game one trends. Let's see, 17-3 ATS game one favorites since 2005. 17-3 in the last 20 game ones? Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? The Thunder are the only way to look here in game number one. And that's not disrespecting the Pacers. There's just a reason why this team, the Thunder, are 9-point favorites in game number one. I love them in game one. I love them in the series, but you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, bet a minus 700. But I love them in game one and in the first half of game number one specifically. Thunder minus 5 in the first half. Shop around, see if you can get a 4.5, see if you can get a better number. That's a play I really like. Actually, I love that play. Well, the NBA Finals, they're coming. Stanley Cup, it's right around the corner. ProfitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks, and exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jeff Ulrich of DraftKings. Will get his best bets for the NBA Finals and more. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we preview both the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final. Stanley Cup Final begins on Wednesday night in Edmonton. The NBA Finals beginning Thursday night in Oklahoma City. Joining us now in the Progressive Guest Line from DraftKings is Jeff Ulrich. Jeff, appreciate the time as always, and let's get to some best bets. I just got done talking about game one of the NBA Finals, where I can't come away with, you know, a better bet in my mind. I mean, there's a bunch of them, obviously. But I love the Thunder to win the game. I think they cover the big line here. I really love the Thunder in the first half, Jeff. I think that when it comes to this, the idea of rest versus rust, history shows us, and I went through the database and I looked at teams that are on in the playoffs, 7 days of rest or more. They start out fast. They finish strong. They win the games. So the idea of the rust doesn't bother me because it's not true. So I love the Thunder to come out early here and win big in the first half. What's your take on game number one?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a lot of respect for the Pacers as well. Yeah, they're a real feisty team. Obviously have some players who really have shown up in the playoffs. But, you know, even just going away from the rust thing, I mean, I think both these teams are pretty well rested anyways. So I don't know how big an advantage it'll be, but certainly a little extra rest, I would say. I would rather take that than worry about them being a little bit rusty. It's the biggest series of the NBA season. But the thing that gets me is just like, this is just a different beast for the Pacers. I mean, I'm sorry, but like, you know, taking on the Knicks, not the same as like the Thunder taking on the Nuggets and these teams in the East, to me anyways. Like, this is just a massive step up in competition. And I think there's just going to be a bit of like sticker shock, what you could call it, for the Indiana Pacers. So, I like the Pacers enough that I actually considered maybe taking them here in the first game on the spread. I'm not going to do that. I think that the way to play it is to look to ways to bet the Thunder, whether it be in the first half, whether it be for them, you know, as we were discussing just a tiny bit beforehand, to just, you know, take the lead in the first quarter and just lead the whole game, potentially a plus money, or you know, to win the first half and win the entire game. Looking at ways to take the Thunder in this series that are just a little bit beaten off, where you can off the beaten path, excuse me, where you can, you know, you can get better odds. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Looking at DraftKings right now, the double results. So Thunder to win the first half and then Thunder to win the game was at like -235. The Thunder wire to wire, it's -275, excuse me. The wire to wire to win, that's something that you and I talked about off air, which is they have to have the lead at the end of every quarter. So they don't have to win every quarter. Obviously, you have to win the first quarter to have a lead. But then if they build up a big enough lead, they could lose the second quarter and still be leading at the halftime. They have to have the lead at the end of every quarter. Thunder wire to wire winner is +115. Now, with a game that's a 9-point spread, Jeff, at home, game one of the finals, this wouldn't surprise me if the Thunder go wire to wire.
No, absolutely not. I mean, certainly like the Pacers could come out and, you know, knock down a few threes, really just catch the Thunder a little bit sleeping. But, you know, I think most scenarios where the Thunder cash here, I mean, obviously, you know, like you kind of expect them to win all four quarters, or to be ahead, excuse me, in all four quarters, obviously. So I like that bet a lot too. I mean, I think if you're thinking about the Thunder again, like you need to think about them in this scenario, you know, and just looking at the whole series, I mean, you know, obviously they're massive favorites, but you know, you can go to the series spread and do similar things. Like you get, I like the Thunder here, you know, at -2.5. I mean, I feel like this is a series that maximum probably goes six games and most likely is over before that. So, you know, look at the series that spread, you can still get Thunder -130, might probably maybe even look for a little bit better number, maybe -120 if you can shop around. But certainly like OKC to potentially just close this out, you know, in four or five games. So I'm not sure if I'll play for the sweep necessarily, but I certainly like OKC at -2.5 as well.
Any props that you're looking for, whether it be in game number one alone or for the entire series?
Yeah, no, you know, again, like basketball and especially playoffs, I feel like when you're looking at these things, you know, people like to look back and obviously, you know, we all better sort of fall into this where, you know, we're looking, we look at small sample sizes. Oh, this guy did this the last five games. Like he's obviously, you know, he's definitely going to do the same thing in the next series, Scott. But, you know, like for me, I think that you've got to remember, like, new opponent, new series, things can just kind of reset. And I think a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein could definitely be someone to take a shot with, you know, if you're looking at props, if you're looking at potentially laddering alternate lines, you know, a guy who had his minutes cut, you know, was playing under 19 minutes. And I know, like, you know, maybe they go small ball again and Hartenstein doesn't play that many minutes, but I like him potentially like to go for 10 plus rebounds. This is a very efficient rebounder. I feel like it's a pretty good matchup for him down low. So I'm looking at Hartenstein, you know, 10 plus rebounds, potentially laddering that even past 10 plus, certainly over his regular pop of 7.5. So like him for potentially just a slightly bigger role in the series. And especially in game one, I just like the value we're getting on a guy who averaged 10 rebounds in the regular season. Now his prop is way low. These are the kind of buy low situations, I think, as you're coming into new series that you got to think about.
Love the laddering aspect of it, because you can get a nice plus money price the higher you go on these rebound props, or just on any prop really. But for Hartenstein, you get him double digit rebounds. We're talking about upwards of plus 300, if not more, on some of these rebounding props on the ladder. How about taking Hartenstein at plus 195 to be the rebounding leader for the entire series?
I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense too. Like when you look at you know Indiana, obviously there's no Jokic down low, just who's going to play like the entire game. You know they will rotate a lot. You know, you look at a guy, you know, like who do we have to worry about on the Pacers? I mean, it's kind of hard to really point to one guy, Siakam maybe, but it's not necessarily like his game. Miles Turner could get hot, but again, not a guy who plays the entire game. So then you're looking at you know, OKC, obviously Chet Holmgren, but yeah, I like that idea a lot, quite frankly, because if his role does increase even just a little bit, like he should almost be the favorite for that prop. So
yeah, Chet Holmgren is the favorite at minus 185. Isaiah Hartenstein is next at plus 195. As we're talking to Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings on the Progressive Guest Line, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. Jeff, let's shift our attention to the start of the Stanley Cup Final, which begins on Wednesday in Edmonton. The Oilers are a slight favorite in game number one, but this is a pretty even series, obviously a rematch of last year, but the market telling us that these teams are very, very evenly priced. And I would imagine that Florida would actually be a greater favorite once they're at home against the Oilers, depending on what happens in the first two games. But what's your take here on the series as a whole, and how are you playing game number one?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, Oilers at minus 130 at home, probably just, again, as you said, if this was switched, I think Florida probably would be closer to minus 140, probably would be a minus 140. But for me, you know, I like Edmonton pretty much, not as much as I like the Pacers, or excuse me, as the Thunder in the NBA side, but I do like Edmonton here. This is a team I already have a piece of in the futures. So again, I don't need to necessarily go deep there, but if I was looking to make a series bet, and I have, you know, added a little bit to this, but certainly the Oilers minus 1.5 is something I'm extremely interested in. The idea of them closing it out, obviously at home, you know, in game six, I think is a very real possibility, but even potentially in game five. I mean, I think if the Oilers can come out, win this game one, you know, again, the Panthers are a great team. They're extremely resilient. We saw it time and time again. Obviously, they took down the Leafs. But for me, the Oilers have always been the best team in the West. They just needed to get healthy. They needed to get by the Kings. They did that. And they've proven it the rest of the way. So I think that the Oilers have had a couple prove it wins. You know, again, the Panthers, yeah, they took seven games to beat the Leafs. They beat the Hurricanes, big deal. Everybody in the East beats the Hurricanes. I like the Oilers to finish this in six or less, plus 155, a minus 1.5. That's how I'm looking at the series. And for game one, I think there's going to be goals. I think that, again, we're going to see something similar. High scoring in the early games, lower scoring as this series gets tighter and longer. But I'm not afraid to take the over six. And I'm not afraid to take Edmonton on the puck line at plus 185 or bigger either.
Any Conn Smythe bets for you?
I mean, you know, again, like if you're looking at the Oilers, if you like the Oilers, it's pretty hard to bet against McDavid. I would probably just stay off that because he's so short. He's such a popular bet. I think if you're looking to get in the MVP market, probably taking a shot with a guy like maybe Tkachuk or something, or maybe Sam Bennett having a big series for the Panthers. But for me, it's kind of would be McDavid or bust.
Yeah. It certainly makes sense from a storyline aspect of it. And, obviously, well-deserved, of course, last year, and deserving of it this year. Jeff, appreciate the time and the insight. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the finals in both the NBA and the NHL.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
There he is, Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings. Great stuff here on both the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals. Really like that Isaiah Hartenstein bet. In fact, I might place that Hartenstein to be the leader in rebounds for the entire series. I'm going to go over some of those series prop markets because I find them fascinating. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter, @ScottsOnAir. It's Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.